Greetings from the prison industrial complex. This is a different episode. There's not an intro in it because this one wasn't really meant to be an episode. It was planned to be an episode. We had everything planned out, but some stuff fell through, and then we had to push it back, and then a day had to change. In addition to all that, I was just withering away, melting away. I was at my wit's end, and I just wasn't going to be able to do an episode. But I don't get to talk to JD all the time. And so while I had him, I was like, I still want to talk to him and vent and kind of get some shit off my chest. And that's really what happened. I just started talking to him about what was going on, and he was asking what was the matter, and I just unloaded, and none of it was meant to be a show. But halfway through, I realized, you know, with the warts and all motto, that there's some stuff here that I think are an important part of painting the picture of what it is to be in prison. So I included it. And I knew going in it a little bit, we might end up using it. That being said, there's some really harsh language in here. I thought it was important to leave the harsh language in because it's how people talk in here. And it's me quoting someone. So there's some harsh language, and there's some edge to this episode. Some of it's dark and kind of hopeless seeming, but it just became something that I thought, you know, we need to share this with everyone because we're all family here, and this is what it's like being in prison, especially when you're getting towards the end of your bit, and the American prison system is getting worse, not better. At least the Michigan prison system is. So I just wanted to give you a heads up before we get into it. This isn't your typical episode, but it's an important one. So, with that being said, on behalf of me and everyone else, here you go.
All subject matter in the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
So the Stanford study was basically
I think. Right, but I think I should stop to say I've been super focused recently, just grinding my eyeballs, my fingers, everything to a nub, trying to finish these edits to get them out for a project that has paired me up with an amazing person that seems to be synchronistically made for what I want to accomplish with this novel, which I feel like is my baby, and it's very important, and it's unique, and all this other stuff. But as a part of a program who has completely failed us, just completely dropped out from beneath us, and thankfully up to this point, Maddie, the former managing editor of Penguin Random House, is still on board. She believes in the project and all this stuff, and we're kind of going at it together just on our own, which means I don't bother her because she's super busy, and I'm about ready to send her the stuff for the line edits, right? So while all this is going on, I'm hitting like the 2+ year mark of being in the same place,
right?
Which there's this crazy psychological thing that happens to a human being when they don't see anything different for years on end. And you add that on top of, you might be able to stave some of the psychosis off when you live in a cabin in the woods like Kaczynski for a little while, mm-hmm. right? When you're by yourself. But if you're in a place with an ever-revolving door of 160 other roommates, damaged roommates, stunted roommates, beautiful, amazing, brilliant roommates as well, but a lot of damaged human beings in here, myself included, there's just all these layers of pressure and stress and all this stuff, right? The human mind, heart, and head can only take care of so much, that can only handle so much, right? And before stuff starts falling away and you start feeling unwell, physically, mentally, all those things, and you start letting things fall away in the sense of, like, I don't have the time or energy to, like, I'm drained to invest in. So the show, which has been such a source of grounding and connection and fulfillment for me, has also become, not the show itself, but the responsibility of recording it has become like a thing, like, shit, I don't, and I don't ever like doing anything halfway. I don't ever like putting out subpar.
Right. Yep.
You know, my mom sees it. She says all the time, like, you're really hard on yourself. But it's because I don't want to put anything out that's not worth listening to and people dedicating their time to actually listen to whatever the hell I got to say. And that doesn't mean it's not a nonsense a lot of times. A lot of times it is. But if it's funny nonsense, then so be it. So I haven't had the time to sit down and kind of plot out, okay, what are we going to do for an episode? Until really the night before. And so we were supposed to record this morning.
Yes.
And I sat down and I'm like, shit, I don't really have anything. And I'm trying to, and this has been the last couple examples. I'll go, well, what's been good? Just think about what's been going on recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll start writing down what's been going on recently. And so when we got on the phone today, because of timing and just because it's prison, it's hard to do a podcast from here. And you know, you have a full entire life that exists outside of being on the other end of this phone call, you know, or this thing. We weren't able to record earlier.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so I finally got through today, but I'm in a mood where, well, you know, if you've been listening already. So I think we're just going to keep this included and plug everyone in. But what I started doing was I started writing down a lot of the shit that has kind of led me to this precipice of like just wanting to throw my hands up and go, I don't know what else to do to like maintain.
Like you said, I mean, you keep trying and even you trying to help other people and not seeing any kind of anything come to fruition. They would rather talk about some sort of issue instead of actually acting towards solving that issue and the edits and, you know, trying to do this show and the weather and the fact that you're stuck in prison. I could hear it in your voice this morning. You were just done. You know.
Well, a lot of this shit, this is where I run into the thing where I want to, where it's like, I'm like pulling my hair out. And while I'm literally trying to figure out, you know, and this isn't some like benevolent, I'm like here to save everyone around. It's not that.
Sure.
I obviously don't have that power. But in the middle of like kind of driving myself nuts, trying to do so many things, and one of them being that thing, like it's very important that people hear what this experience is like, because no one really gives a shit about people in prison until they come to prison or until they know someone in prison, right? Mm-hmm. And so you guys know I've said this a million times. That's what this is. I do have the ability, I hope, to maybe make people feel like they know someone in the joint and by proxy start changing people's minds and start making people think a little bit about what's going on in here. You know, in a way that's not two-dimensional, like you see depicted everywhere. I plan on doing it many other ways when I get out.
Yep.
But in the midst of all that, when you're in here, sometimes you look around and you go, fuck you guys. Like, fuck all you guys. Like, you're not even, and we're not even worth saving. Like, that's what it feels like from the inside sometimes. And so I started, like, I got into this argument, debate, and then I immediately got mad at myself for engaging and stopped, right? People make these declarations in here based on nothing other than they just feel like that's a thing, right? So they'll say stuff like, America's the most racist country in the world, right? Now, maybe it is. I don't know. So I stopped to think, everyone in here, but everyone in the world too, focuses to feed the negative wolf rather than the positive, right? And that doesn't mean ignore history, ignore past, or ignore the negative stuff going on in life. But it does mean that if you only have so much energy, so much time, and so much mental fortitude or focus, to focus on the negative thing constantly, to make that your worldview, I think it's one of the reasons we're in so much trouble. So I started kind of talking about, well, what makes you say that? Like, based on what, right? Because there's stuff like the Racial Equity Index that actually gathers this information, right?
Yeah.
And they say, okay, and it's based on education, economic disparity, criminal justice, all these different things. So when someone says that, it makes me go, okay, if you're going to say that and you're going to use that to be a segregationist or whatever it is you want it to be, I'm curious to know, like, what you're basing this on.
Show your work.
Like, where, right? And it immediately becomes clear that it's based on nothing. It's based on nothing other than you know what? I thought of an analogy later where it feels like it's like someone saying, my girlfriend or husband, whatever you want to say, my girlfriend's the worst person in the world. She's the worst. I have the worst girlfriend in the world. And sure, it seems like that's you because you live with her when she's farting under the covers or fucking your best friend's dick or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But then you watch My Strange Addiction and you see a guy who's having sex with his car, right? He's in love with his car. He's having sex with his car. And his dad's sitting there watching him, like, make out with the bumper of his Pontiac. This is real. And, right? And in exchange, just for this circumstance, girlfriend for son, right? I have the worst son in the world. And then you see that guy, and you go, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yes. So
I didn't even know it was a thing for guys who are in love with their... Right. So because of the immediacy of your own experience, you believe that there's an empirical truth in what you've experienced. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of trying to talk about that. And I get frustrated because it just breaks down into someone saying, well, I've done this and I've done that, and cops are racist, and you know this about me. I'm not wanting to defend the police. And I said, well, you can't say I don't know about that. I've been hospitalized by the police before. I've been beaten and put in the hospital by it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not defending the police. I'm saying... I'm sure that there's other countries that also are very racist. And as much as our history is terribly racist, and there are racist people here, there are also a bunch of people who care about ending racism and care about, you know, there's giant organizations and companies trying, and I know, like, you can say it's mock altruism and stuff, but it's happening at least, where people are organizing for racial equality and racial justice. And I think a lot of times we can take it for granted how terrible our son is, our girlfriend is, because he's a, you know, he doesn't believe in the same God we do. But you also need to know he's not fucking a car. So there's, like, worse places out there, right? And that's what I was kind of talking about. And on the surface, it seems like, oh, that's not really a fight worth picking. And I wasn't picking a fight.
No.
So I started writing down, like, some of the other things in the cube that kind of led to this. So some of the more recent examples of someone believing just complete nonsense,
mm-hmm.
and like bidding it while I'm in the background trying to mind my business, and then have to go, excuse me.
Right. So here's you talk about, like, wild statements, like, if you haven't been to prison, you ain't shit. Would that be one of those?
No, that's hilarious. I like that. That's funny. That's just ridiculous and funny. No, I'm talking about stuff like this.
No, I get it. Good.
So, like, and this is like a cube-to-cube conversation. So a lot of the things, ignorance in prison boils down to extreme homophobia. Like, everyone's just so... And it's ironic because a lot of people who are, like, who in one breath are saying racism's wrong are saying we should kill all fags. That's a direct quote in here. And I have to turn to the person and go, hey, bro, you don't really... Why would you even believe that? And this is... And this isn't me being a hero. This is me, like, turning in a real way of someone who actually I like and say, while the rest of the group is, like, hooping and hollering, and so kind of only so that person can hear, but they can hear too if they want to, and say, why would you say that? Like, do you really believe that? That makes me sad, bro. You really believe? And he starts going, well, I'm just saying it makes me uncomfortable when I see him. And I go, so kill them all? So kill them all, is what you're saying. Well, I don't know. So the first one I wrote down is, says, shit, you know, men can get pregnant now.
Okay.
Now, if this doesn't encapsulate my frustration with people making statements without doing any research, first of all, or just having common sense. So they're saying the surgeries and, like, the hormones or whatever, the technology of transgender reassignment is so advanced that there are now men having babies with placentas and uteruses. So how do you meet that person on a playing field?
Don't know.
Where you even have to. So I go, wait a minute. Well, what? Yeah, I've seen a picture. Man, this man has a baby.
Was it Arnold Schwarzenegger?
So this is what I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. There's a picture of someone born female at birth, who is now transgender and now identifies as a man, had the double mastectomy, takes testosterone, grows facial hair, looks almost like half Asian. I think he might be like half Asian. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of him pregnant, choosing to carry the child for him and his partner, right?
Yep.
And it does look like a man being pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes about, I don't know, half a second to go, wait a minute, that can't be a real thing. You know what I mean? So try getting through to someone who doesn't know that, just inherently, that can't be a thing. You know what I mean? There's another one immediately after that.
I was just going to say, I can't imagine how often these statements are fired at you. Or not even at you, but just are floating around in the ether there where you...
Oh, my God.
This is going to be...
Okay. And you think, like, you can't make this shit up. Because a lot of... This is what really terrifies me about it all and why I try to interject sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really worries me that there's not a base level of logic and reason to connect cause and effect, or any sort of implication to say if A plus B equals C, therefore whatever. Right. You know, like if without that, what the fuck? So is Idiocracy a real thing, the movie? Like, is that really?
I'm starting to wonder.
So here's another one. Without being able to extrapolate the consequences of the statement, this is the same person says, there should be a website where everyone who has HIV... their names on it.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
Why? Okay, for what? Like a...
So you can know not to fuck them.
Oh.
So you can know not to have sex with them and they won't spread it. Right? Perfect. As if the personal responsibility isn't on yourself, but there's HIPAA laws. You can't just put people... Do you want to make a registry? I said, what stops it from that, like, shifting off to into something else? So I'm trying to, like, show people, like, okay...
So the HIV phone book.
Right. So everyone, we should create a list, right? Very Nazi Germany, the idea of creating a list. So that way we know and we won't spread HIV around. Mm. It's bullshit. They'd be out there tricking people. They're out there tricking motherfuckers and spread. I said, well, there is a law against that. So if you have HIV, you have to disclose it with the person you're having sex with. Otherwise, you could be charged with attempted manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You can be charged with that, and that should be a law. You know what I mean? Right. So there's already safety nets in there, right?
Right.
I don't think we need to create... And then I told this person about a story that was on NPR. And I think... I don't know if we talked about it on the show. I know I talked about it with someone on the phone, though,
okay.
Where there's this woman from Africa, and she was basically being extorted, where someone... She was born with HIV. Her mother had it. And someone was... threatening, like, basically extorting her to expose the shit, like to say, you better tell everyone or whatever. And she ended up coming out and putting a shirt on that says, oh, she was HIV positive, and taking the shirt on it. Everyone applauded her, but you can't force people into that, because to no fault of their own in a lot of cases, well, in most cases, no one chooses to fuck it. Oh, I want to get HIV. They're discriminated against. People don't want to drink after them. They don't want to sit next to them on the bus. You know, all these different things. And so once I explain this, then the person goes, oh, shit, okay, yeah, I see, I get it. Because I like this person. They're not inherently a bad person, right?
They're just ill-informed.
They just, not just ill-informed, that's part of it. But the other part is, I just don't understand why... You wouldn't naturally, this is one of my larger frustrations, why you wouldn't naturally be able to understand, oh, if that's true, then that could be used in this way as well, right? Like, just a base level of cognitive ability to think through a statement into larger implications. And aside from, like, all of the shock value of what is being said and what we're talking about, is the heartbreaking realization of, well, what do you do with that? When I watch the news and also see a lot of people who, against all corroborating evidence or contrary evidence, say that the election was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then it makes me think the Mike Judge was onto something with the movie Idiocracy, only it's not a comedy, it's a fucking horror film.
Right.
Reality. Where, for those of you who don't know, he did a movie where it's basically 500 years in the future. These two people get frozen. One's a prostitute and one's just like a marmy flunky. And they wake back up out of their cryogenic freeze. And dumb people outbred smart people. And there's just a whole bunch of dummies. And the longest Oscar award-winning movie is just a naked dude's white ass farting over and over again. You know, and there's giant avalanches of garbage, so they don't know how to dispose of it. Walmart is like the size of the Nebraska plant. And, you know what I mean? So they're trying to get back because it's so chaotic. Terry Crews is the president. His name's like Hector or Elizondo, Mountain Dew, Taco Bell. Professional wrestler. And Luke Wilson wakes up there, and he was slightly lower intelligence in our time. But when he wakes up there, he's a fucking... Right. They're instead of water, at some point, they started using Powerade.
Wait, are you saying that you're Luke Wilson right now?
It feels like it.
You're in the set of Idiocracy right now.
Right, where he has to, where there's like a big famine because the crops won't grow. And they talk like this, whoa, no food grow out here. Mm. And they think he taught, there's a couple F-bombs in that show as well. Anytime Luke Wilson, who sounds normal, whatever that means, they say, you sound like a queer, why you talk like that? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm just talking normal. And so there's a famine, and he goes by, and he sees a crop field, so just a dust bowl, and he sees this water fountain, the sprinklers going, and they're pumping energy drink. They replaced water with a Powerade type drink. And he says, wait a minute, why don't you guys use water to water these things? And then they go, oh, my God. So they end up electing him president, him and the ex-prostitute Maya Rudolph, who's dodging her pimp, travels through time, and Luther, like Jaser, who's played by... the great Texas rapper Scarface. So, yeah, you know, people used to joke along the way, like, oh, Idiocracy is going to come true. But at some point, whether it's in here or watching the news, it seems like it is happening. Mm. And
I said the same thing when I saw WALL-E, that cartoon movie.
Yeah.
Where everybody ends up having to move to space because we fucked up the planet.
Right.
Like the one who they found one thing growing.
Yeah,
that was pretty predictable.
So
you're basically in Idiocracy right now and trying your damnedest to explain to people to just flip the page. You see a headline, maybe click two more pages and, you know, get down to the meat and bones of things.
Well, much like Idiocracy, at first, the first thing he wants to give up, but he tries to, like, pull everyone forward. And I'm not the only Luke Wilson in here. There's other people, too. But here's the thing. If people have the basic cognitive ability to inherently say, oh, well, if this means this, and extrapolate farther to kind of use a intellectual or... a cause and effect, then you have something. But if you don't even have that capability of stopping and thinking, oh, wait, if I say, you know, this should happen to all people, it could easily be turned around. Like, if you don't have the ability to make those mental, logical steps forward, progressions, then what do you do? Then that leads to a point where that's where I feel despondent and kind of hopeless, where I go, what do you have to, like... I just don't know what the answer is.
It's a larger version of you can lead a horse to water kind of situation.
Yes. Yes. Because, I mean, you can't, what are you going to, how are you going to explain to a Trump supporter who believes the election was stolen, right?
How do you even?
All the stuff that they, that's already out there for them to know. Like, well, they went through all the courts and Trump appointed judges shot it down and said, no, that's not, you don't have any evidence. The leaps in fucking logic or they have to make is it's
that's just
at some point you're beyond explanation. They already have all the information and they're still choosing. So then what do you do other than go, well, I guess we're I don't know, man. And
yeah.
I don't
at least we know where you're at.
And so my big thing now is like trying to not engage. As sad as that is, God, I don't know what else to do.
How the hell do you?
I just don't know what else to do. I feel like I'm sitting there going, I got my own stuff going on. And please, I just don't want to hate people when I get out of here. I just don't.
Right.
I don't want to hate
people. That's the larger issue. But find common people when you, like common thinking people like yourself once you get out. But you're in a small pond in there, unfortunately.
Oh, wait. That's the thing? So I'm going to be able to find that when I get out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Buddy. But. But we're still going to be outnumbered?
But you're going to be, yeah. We're going to, your ability to ignore comments is going to have to be beefed up a little bit, I think. You know.
And I don't ever like doing negative episodes, and I don't want it to sound negative, but I'm also, you know, sometimes this is a often this show is a confessional. That's all it is. It's just me confessing, just getting shit off my chest and just knowing, like, funny exercises stuff. And I don't want to bum anyone out. And I'll say this, that with all the people I interact with on JPay and all the people that listen to the show and plenty more too, but that I wouldn't have any way of knowing. I love you guys, and I know there's good people out there, and even a lot of the people here. As much as I'm trying to tell, you know, it started with me trying to tell people, let's be a little more compassionate, let's be a little more empathetic and understanding, because that's what we want as being thrown away from by society. We want a little bit of understanding, empathy, and compassion and love, right? Mm-hmm. And also, let's be positive instead of negative. So I've been running into a brick wall trying to, like, squeeze some positivity out of a negative rock.
And it took Luke Wilson. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Luke Wilson. And now this is everyone's homework. Go watch Idiocracy. It's a great show. And I'm going to do a remake of Idiocracy when I get out after I become...
I can only imagine that'd be great.
I'm going to get my feet under me, and I'm gonna do like how Jordan Peele was turning shit into he turned comedy into horror stories. I'm going to turn Idiocracy into what is this going to be like real life? we're going to do it.
Oh, my God. Well, look at you. I'm proud of you, buddy, because this was, the start of this wasn't great, but here we are. We're chuckling again. So hopefully, in a small way, like you said, being in the confessional helped you out.
All right, so listen, don't let this shit, if you needed to, maybe we'll put a disclaimer at the beginning, shut it off before you listen to it, I don't know, but we're grateful for
you,
we love you.
Did you get chicken on the bone?
We got chicken on the bone today.
Okay.
I got a piece. I'm not even going to complain about the fact that I got a piece, and I think technically it could have been a chicken, so we're going to count that as a win.
What are you going to do today?
I don't know. I got to finish sending these edits out, try to maintain sanity.
Well, your team's playing today, buddy.
They are playing tonight. The Lions are playing. If they win tonight, it's the first. I think it might be a 3 o'clock. That's 3 o'clock.
Hang on. I can 3 o'clock. Real quick, buddy.
Buddy next to me just apparently been listening. So what I'm saying.
It's 3 o'clock. Yep, I got you.
Yeah, so Ray
too. So I know who you're rooting for, but you do like Baker Mayfield.
I like Baker Mayfield and Ray. Just the most specialist lady in my life, aside from Mama C. Lives in Tampa, and she is a door beast out today.
Okay. you guys have exchanged words.
But you know what? No matter what, one of us will be happy and one of us will be sad, so we'll have to carry the other through it. But we need it more.
What's the prediction?
Well, Detroit, we have a bunch of Detroit.
Everybody's.
Detroit's a very self-loathing city, so there's a couple of people who are just always going to be against it. Do you know about this before I leave? Because none of this shit might... All of this shit might be inconsequential anyways, because we live in a simulation. Do you know this? If you look, I don't know if it's 8 or 10 years, but at the beginning of the year, when they put together the flyer, the Super Bowl, where it has the Roman numerals and all that stuff, and they obviously don't know at the beginning of the year, they always put two colors on there. And for the last, I think it's 8 years, maybe 10, every Super Bowl has been the exact same colors they come out with at the beginning of the season. And you know what it is this year?
Purple and blue.
Purple and red.
Oh,
the Ravens and the 49ers.
Oh, man.
And so when it looked like Green Bay was going to beat the 49ers, which we were kind of hoping for, so the Lions could get an easier game, I sat there and I said, there's no way. We live in a simulation. San Francisco has to win. It's already on the fire. It will be the Baltimore Ravens versus the San Francisco 49ers because whatever
color or is it the Chiefs color?
No, it's Niners.
Okay.
It's like the darker, it's Niners.
Saying Baltimore v. Niners. Okay.
Yeah, and go look at that. Maybe Mama C can find, there's a whole compilation of them where they show all of them from the last year, and they're all like last year, what was it, the Chiefs and the Eagles, so it was red and green. It was red and green last year.
Wow.
All the way back for like at least 8 years.
I'm going to go find that. That's crazy.
Yeah, so we're going to watch this. when we wake up from the simulation, what do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be like Rick and Morty where we're playing like a video game?
I'm praying it's just not the Matrix, man. I don't want to be a battery.
No, I don't think it's going to be the Matrix.
Okay.
I think it might be like we're in some, I was telling Ray this, maybe we're, because we seem to have like this weird, uncanny like connection, like where she'd be looking at something, and I've never been one to believe in psi stuff, or think it, where she'll be looking at something.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Say, is it a teal hoodie? And she'll go, yeah, it's a teal hoodie. You know what I mean? We'll finish it. And then maybe the simulation, the simulation we're in, we're going to wake up and we'll be in like a couple therapy health spa, and I'm you and you're me. And we had to like live each other's experiences to better understand.
God, can you imagine?
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
I have a vagina.
I'll be right back.
All right, man.
Hey,
I love you. Yeah, so listen, on behalf of myself, everyone positive and negative, but hopefully positive, we love you.
Yep.
Mama C, Ashley, everyone out there, those struggles, we love you. We are gone.
We go.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com. And follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.